Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 424. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end of the phone is our friend from Texas, Shahid Abdul Hadi. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. Luckily, I'm staying dry. You know, we're having this horrible hurricane in the Houston and coastal area of Texas. So, thoughts and prayers to all those being affected by the weather, and keep your head up, because it's been rough.
Yeah, that's just some crazy shit. Cause I know some people down there, and luckily my brother's company is actually based out of there, but they're doing okay for the most part, evidently. But, yeah, they are not working this week, shockingly enough.
True. And that have kind of affected us cause, we've been trying to see Janet Jackson for the past 2 years in Houston. The first time she postponed because her father got sick. The second time she postponed because she got pregnant. And we were supposed to see her in Houston next weekend, but that looks like that's going to be a no-go. So we just brought tickets for Austin.
Oh.
Hopefully that's a go. But I'm like, this concert's been cursed. But no, I mean, for the most part, like here, we got rain over the weekend. And that was kind of it, like about a win.
Oh.
I had family hit me up like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Texas is a large state. Like, you know, we're like yeah. 3.5 hours away from Houston." So,
yeah,
but, you know, it's kind of like you hear hurricane warnings, you hear Texas, you know, people worry. I'm like, if you lived in Philly, they said it was gonna have a blizzard in Pittsburgh, you wouldn't be worried about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Except Texas is even larger than that.
Yeah, exactly. So, other than that, things have been going fine. Been catching up on wrestling. And, one of the things I hate most about wrestling happened Monday night. So, I guess we can jump into it.
Yeah, I mean, there really isn't a bigger topic to jump into this week. I would not think... Because I definitely saw more Twitter action on the Roman Reigns, John Cena promo, counter promo segment from people that I know watch, but do so more on a casual basis. And it definitely got some attention this week. I mean, I don't think anything outside of, you know, maybe a Lesnar introduction or something has gotten this much news in a while.
Yeah. The last time it was something this, like, mainstream talk, I don't know if it was, like, when Jinder Mahal won, because it was, like, so out of the ordinary, or, like, when Rock wrestled Samoa Joe prior to that, because that was kind of, oh, as Randy Orton just laid out Nakamura to end the show. No, but, yeah.
you ruined the main event for me, Shahid.
Yeah, so, as you know, I am kind of, I have mixed feelings when it comes to those quote-unquote shoot promos, because there's a way to do it to amplify the show and amplify a feud and give it some extra kick. But usually it leads in a way that takes you out of the entire show. Like, it makes you think about how the rest of the show is, you know, scripted, quote-unquote, fake wrestling. And this one leaned toward the latter. Like, I've watched it, and I was annoyed on so many levels, like, disgusted. And not even, it's easy to blame John Cena, and I do have a lot of blame for John Cena, but my main blame is with Vince McMahon. Because, like it is always, because kind of like, this was done on purpose. He wanted this to be done, and he should have known better.
Yeah, nothing like that gets done. Like, even the infamous CM Punk thing, he may not have had it scripted for him, unlike both sides of this one. But, you know, Vince McMahon knew that it was coming. Like, he had to have had a general idea of what CM Punk was going to say that night. And he was okay with it. Like, he wanted that out there. And this was the same thing. He obviously wanted... And I don't even know what you say about it. Like, no one is getting a bigger reaction than Roman Reigns right now. Like,
but maybe
I know...
they touch like Braun Strowman, but yeah. It's... Here's... Okay. Here's my thing. Here's my main thing before we, like, we delve deep into it.
Okay.
What was the point? That's where it kind of leads to. It's if Roman Reigns is going to be your guy, and you know, by hook or by crook, it's, you know, he's going to be the boat that you're going to sail into the next millennium, or blah, blah, blah. He's going to be your handpicked guy, regardless of what the fans think or anything else. Then treat him that way. Amplify his strengths and hide his weaknesses. Don't have him going out there looking like a chump and have him set up to look foolish. That was my main thing with that. It's like, beyond all the other stuff, this doesn't do Roman Reigns any favors. Like, you don't want your main eventer looking like a chump. No others, like, you wouldn't do that to anybody else. And, well, I would say normally you wouldn't do that to anybody else. And I felt it was real ironic that was John Cena of all people cutting that promo. That was the thing that kind of pissed me off more than anything else.
Yeah, there's just a lot of layers, because, like, those two things were things that definitely got to me. The one that stood out to me, and Jeremy and I talked about it a little bit today, the timing seemed so weird for this. Like, I guess I don't care that this match is going down at No Mercy. It just seemed like a promo that, between two guys that have been feuding for an extended period of time. And not two guys who, last week, you could have seen them in two different feuds with two different heels.
Yeah.
Like, the timing was really strange. So, I mean, I'm not trying, because your points kind of have more to get into them. Than mine, but that was the one thing that stood out to me. Like, the timing was really weird.
Yeah. Not only that, is they do all of that and then have a tag match. And that's the other thing. It's kind of like, yeah, nah. But to go back, it's okay. It's time to dive deep into it. I remember, like, it's funny, John Cena's talking all this stuff about, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself, and I can do more part-time than you could ever do full-time, and you beat a broken-down Undertaker, and, you know,
well,
you don't know how to cut promos and stuff like this. John Cena's acting like we don't remember what he did for the first 11 years of his career. Because that was the same, all the things they said about Roman Reigns, they said about John Cena first. So John coming and calling Roman Reigns a bootleg version of John Cena is real rich coming from somebody that got called a bootleg Steve Austin and a bootleg Rock. Like, people are acting like we forgot about that. Like, yeah, I know John Cena's been having great matches the past 3 or 4 years. I know he's been putting off people, but I don't need WWE Network to remember the John Cena from, like, 2003 to the John Cena, like, 2013. Like, that Cena existed. That Cena got booed for the same reasons Roman Reigns got booed. That Cena got trashed for the same reasons. That John Cena was the same one that got in the Rock's face about you being a part-timer and you don't really care about the fans and yada, yada. And Rock rightfully crucified him. It's like, I've been there and done that. You doing, like, I don't have to do this. You on the road because you have to. If you don't, you're going to get fired. And it was a reason. And somebody brought up a point saying, well, maybe they're trying to have lightning strike twice, because the biggest WrestleMania buy was between Rock and Cena, and the feud sounded similar to this promo Monday.
Oh.
And my counterpoint was two parts. One, it's The Rock coming back after like 7 years. People love The Rock. The Rock is what, top three, top four, most biggest WWE star of all time?
Yeah, and he has the good pleasure, like, because some of them just couldn't wrestle anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, you know, he's still young, he can still wrestle. And the most important thing they had is, people wanted to see The Rock wrestle and beat John Cena. Like, people were tired of, like, John Cena doing that John Cena crap. And it's The Rock coming back after a long hiatus, wrestling at WrestleMania in Miami. And it's like, The Rock's the hero in that story. Nobody, you know, no matter what they try to do to try to bring The Rock down to John Cena level, including pretending like The Rock had the right lines on his arm to remember his promos, which had me roll my eyes out of my head. Like, you're trying to tell me the first or second greatest promo in wrestling history, who's also a movie star, can't remember his lines to cut a wrestling promo? Like, you really trying to sell that line to us just so you can make John Cena, like, equal to The Rock? Like, I saw all that, so that's fine. So John Cena can't do all that crap he did, went through all that garbage he went through, and then try to do the same lines against Roman Reigns, because he doesn't have that much goodwill to do that. Like, it's funny, last week, what was the crowd chanting? You both suck.
Yeah.
Like, it's a real good chance that pay-per-view comes, and the fans kind of crap on both of them.
Yeah, I guess that was the other thing, that Cena kind of got some of the cheers from the male side of the audience that usually boos Reigns, but I think a lot of them saw the same thing, that they're just like, huh? Like, we're supposed to buy this? You know, yeah. So it's a really weird tack to take with the whole thing, because like you said, you don't have a genuine messenger there. Like, a lot of the people that you know are fans, and that really the WWE is catered to with a whole variety of things, honestly, at this point, between the cruiserweights and the Mae Young Classic, like, they're kind of, you know, diehards, and they know that they're around. And they know the diehards are going to see through this. So, you know, they're, like, trying to please the diehards and think that they're not going to remember all this shit that, you know, they watched.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways. Like, the type of stuff John Cena's talk about is going to be, well, fans like us will pick up on it. But fans like us remember the John Cena from back in the day, so we're going to call BS on it. The average 9-year-old and 10-year-old has no idea what John Cena's talking about. Talking about breaking the fourth wall, and that's how you got promos. He's like, Daddy, what are you talking about? It's like, if you're a casual fan, you hearing that. And that's my biggest issue with those type of promos. I can see, like, it's a way to cut those shooty, smarky promos, but still keeping, like, the nature of wrestling. Because I remember, and I will never forget, like, the build-up when Triple H wrestled Cena at WrestleMania 22. And Triple H's whole thing was, Cena is this try-hard klutz who's not really that good. You know, he can't wrestle. He works hard and tries hard. He looks like a doofus, and he gets by on, like, you know, because he got muscles. Like, and it's funny, it's still related to, like, wrestling skills, kind of like Triple H lost because he underestimated him. But his whole thing is, like, you know, I'm the game. I'm a real wrestler. I can wrestle. John Cena can barely throw a clothesline. Like, it's still wrestling-related stuff. And it worked because it's funny where Triple H was hated back then. And at Chicago, they turned all on. Like, they were cheering for Triple H back when nobody was back before it was that cool to cheer for Triple H again. Like, nobody was cheering for Triple H back then. But it's like, he said the same thing that we were all saying. But it's still, like, match related. It's still wrestling related. What does cutting a promo have to do with a fight? You know, when Roman Reigns stutters over his words and John Cena's like, you know, if you're going to be here in the main event, you got to learn to cut a promo. What they got to do with a match? Like, stuff like that is kind of like, he might as well say his breath stink or something like that. Like, you know, I heard you're a bad dad or something like that. Like, it's stuff that has nothing to do with a match or what happens in the ring. And if you're going to do that, and if you're going to go that route, it's a way to do it. You know, you can call him a marble mouth, or you can make a joke like that. But saying, you know, you don't know how to cut a promo, and you've been here 5 years, you got to learn how to be in a main event. What's that got to do with anything, with a fight?
Yeah, and I don't know what he needs to learn to be in the main event, considering what he's been in a main event pretty much the last 3 years? Reigns? Yeah. Like, He's there, like, he's kind of, and I guess that's part of the angle I didn't even think about. Like, he's been entrenched in the main event scene for a while now. Like, the time that Cena's been gone is the reason that Reigns is there.
Yeah, like, if I'm Roman Reigns, I'm thinking the whole time, like, who the hell are you to tell me anything? You know, like, you went through the same crap I went through. And you're talking about working hard, anything like that, while you busy showing up for 2 weeks and doing a movie. And it's, hey, ain't nothing wrong being part-time. And kudos to Johnson, like, he earned being part-time. But that whole, I've never liked that from both sides. But I can see Roman Reigns' thing is kind of like, I'm busting my ass, and you clowning me, and you come here, show up twice, and you on the Today Show cracking jokes. Which is fine in the normal circumstances. John Cena could take that route. But he can't be the guy taking that route when he was criticizing The Rock for doing the same thing. That's when it comes off as, like, hypocrite. Like, that's the biggest thing. John Cena comes off as too much of a hypocrite. And that's why I'm kind of, like, looking at Vince as, like, you can't have, I know you might want to, like, toughen up Roman Reigns to get him ready. You can't have John Cena be that messenger. I'm sorry, that's like Bobby Brown talking about, you know, don't use drugs. Like, yeah. And I made a joke to somebody, like, it's like if Ann Coulter is criticizing Tommy Lahren for being conservative. Like, nah, you can't be that person. You can't take that route. Like, we've seen John Cena. We know what John Cena's been through. And like you said, Roman Reigns been the main event WrestleMania for the last 3 years. And he's about to be, because he wrestled Undertaker this year. He wrestled Triple H last year. He wrestled Brock the year before when Seth Rollins cashed in. And more likely he'll be in the main event next year. Like, yeah, John Cena, I have to check and see if John Cena was in the last match of WrestleMania 4 years in a row. And that's John damn Cena. So,
well, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing still, and we've kind of brought his name up a couple of times, is The Undertaker. I honestly can't believe that Cena kind of buried him by calling him old and washed up.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started on that. My whole thing is, Undertaker must be coming back, because they've been mentioning his name a lot. And
oh, yeah.
I'm just like, John Cena got some balls to go that route. I'm like, Undertaker is like Undertaker. And this whole, oh, you beat a washed up old man with a bad hip. I'm like, we ain't talking like that. Ain't no slouch you talking about. That's the Undertaker. Like, that's the legend. Nobody talk about it. Like, you don't talk bad. And John Cena's cavalry said that just to get a point across. Like, it was like a scorched earth thing that I didn't see the positive purpose it serves. I'm guessing, like, this whole thing only makes sense in two ways. If Roman Reigns just demolishes John Cena at No Mercy, like, just runs him over, or if he goes heel. Otherwise, no. This does Roman Reigns no favors. And if you're going to be in a main event and be kind of like taken seriously, you know, fourth time's a charm, you need to start doing that now, because I know it's September. WrestleMania will be here before you know it. And you got to overcome the fact that both Samoa Joe and Braun Strowman are people that fans would rather see wrestle Brock Lesnar than Roman Reigns. You got to fix that. Having John Cena have Roman Reigns look like a chump is not fixing that.
It's kind of strange. I mean, they're kind of getting rid of quote-unquote Braun Strowman on Lesnar now to free it up later for Roman Reigns, but he still needs some type of victory over Strowman, I get, in my books. Like, he just got his ass whooped by Strowman multiple times. There was nothing positive to come out of that for Reigns.
Yeah, and lately it's been, he hasn't looked positive, because it's kind of like he was getting clobbered during that whole feud with Strowman. He was losing to Samoa Joe clean. He got pinned at SummerSlam clean, and it's like, I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, I guess it's kind of like, it's, you know, the hard thing I always get annoyed at. Roman Reigns didn't do anything wrong.
Oh.
Like, and it's funny, he gets all this slander stuff, and I'm like, what is he supposed to do? He's getting, say, no, I'm not ready, don't push me? I mean, he got pushed for a reason. He has good matches, but at the same time, he's still, like, relatively young. I know Chris brought the whole thing, like, we've been doing this for 3 years. How long does it take? Because my whole thing is, like, Roman Reigns isn't ready to go shoot promo for shoot promo with John Cena, which is kind of unfair because, like, John Cena is one of the best at it. And they're the people that are better than him are, like, retired. Like, he's at a, like, think about it. Oh. He started, like, 2003. So he has, like, 15 years of this reps of just cutting promos. And he's at the point now where he can say whatever he wants to say. Most of the people in the main event are, like, relatively new or didn't have that freedom. It's like Randy Orton doesn't really cut promos like that. The Miz is, it's funny, like, the Miz can go toe-to-toe with him promo-wise. His main issue is people don't take him, like, ring seriously as well. You got, like, kind of AJ Styles and Kevin Owens to an extent, and that's about it. Brock doesn't care, like, and Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar does say whatever he wants, but that's really about it. And I've told Chris, I'm like, Roman Reigns hasn't been wrestled that long. Like, Stone Cold, it took 7 years from when Stone Cold started and world class to, or like, wherever he was in Texas, to get into WWE cutting that Austin 316 promo. Goldberg cut his first good promo in his life last year at almost 50 years old. You know, some people never cut. Like, it takes time. Everybody's not The Rock becoming just great after 3 years. Most of the time, it takes you a while to get there. And it's like, it's going to take Roman Reigns time.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing. I was like, I'd be interested to go watch a promo from John Cena in year five. Because John Cena in year five was not going to take down John Cena in year 15. Because to me, much like his wrestling, like, I remember when that was one thing that I kind of liked John Cena almost the whole time, but I just could not defend his promos for the longest time.
I mean, poopy pants?
Yeah, the poopy pants phase, but right around, and I keep on using this demarcation, when he fought CM Punk, like, I think he kind of started doing that kind of shooty promo type thing, and he dropped the poop jokes, and it's really made him a lot better. Like, he wasn't that great of a promo for a long time. Like, yeah. It was the same thing that I said about Reigns now, which is, well, actually, I think that Reigns does better when you put him in a little bit more of a controlled setting, which they do with a lot of people, and, like, pretty much everyone in the main event right now, too. Brock Lesnar doesn't really talk. Braun Strowman doesn't really talk. Is John Cena going to tell them that they can't cut a promo and they shouldn't be in the main event?
Yeah, he ain't gonna tell Brock Lesnar a goddamn thing. Because Brock Lesnar would murder him. And I was bringing that up to my friend Rich, and he was kind of saying, you know, he didn't see it. Because my whole thing is kind of like, he picked the easy target. Because Roman Reigns has to play the good soldier. Roman Reigns, what's Roman Reigns going to say? Like, he can't. It's funny, and that's why I've always had issues with shoot promos. Because it's cool if it's an even field. But if only one or two people get to do it, then everybody still got to do the aftermath. It's like, we got to pretend to do this old school wrestling stuff. And they get to use a cheat code. At least, like, with SmackDown, one thing I like about SmackDown is kind of like, everybody gets to do it more or less, but it fits the show. Like, we used to call it the asshole show because they would take, like, real-life stuff and fit it in. But everybody did it.
Right.
So it fit the show. Raw is like, you know, John Cena gets to do it, but he's the only person. Like, it'd be easy if Roman Reigns saying, like, you know, it's easy to talk that, like, you know, you got handed everything on the, like, the only reason you champ is because Rock and Brock Lesnar left. Like, imagine if he said that. And, like, what's John Cena going to say? Like, John Cena can't talk about the whole, it's not about what the office pick, it's about what the fans pick. Like, he really said that line. I'm like, for real? You going to say it with a straight face, John? Like, no, I can't see you. Because you're lying. Like, you lying dead in my face. It keeps going back to him. He's not the one to give that promo. Like, he can't give that promo with a straight face. And I know it's like, he's the old, like, he has seniority, and he's probably the only person on Raw that could say that and have legitimacy, but
right,
he can't do it because he doesn't have legitimacy saying that nonsense.
Yeah, because like you said, he did all of it, so he isn't, like, even though he has the tenure to be able to do it, he doesn't have the past to be able to do it. Like, I mean, the Undertaker could get away with something like that, but I mean, I don't ever see the Undertaker cutting a promo like that either.
Yeah, not anymore. Like, he would have done that back. It's funny how old Undertaker is. He would have cut a promo like that in the Attitude Era, or like right post Attitude Era. But him coming out now, like the Undead Man, talking about work rate, would just seem so damn obtuse. It would just seem weird. It's like, no, the time and place for him to do that is past.
Well, and he always seemed like a backstage guy to boot. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't seem like, I'm going to do this to you in promo. It was like, oh, I'm going to do something dumb to you in backstage, and you're just going to deal with it.
He had like a 2-year run when he was doing that, because I remember when he was feuding with The Rock, and it was hilarious because The Rock was just doing Rock stuff and just cutting promos and talking about The Undertaker having a 30-pound head and cheap-ass tattoos. And Undertaker was cutting these promos like The Rock just got on his nerves. Like, you keep talking this stuff that your ass can't cash. I can't wait to break my foot in your ass when you run in your mouth. Like, all that talking and that stupid elbow is not going to make a difference. But that was kind of like back when, that was like when he wearing gray sweatpants right before he came back as like Biker Taker. But since then, it's like, no, Undertaker's all in his character and he's going to do character-driven stuff. It's just like, John Cena talking about, you know, Roman Reigns can't do this and that. Like, John Cena has great matches. He still can't throw a punch.
Oh.
Like, John Cena still wrestles clump like a klutz. Like, even to this day. And it's like, yeah, John, look in the mirror sometimes. Like, remember your past.
Remember your present.
You should have sympathy for what Roman Reigns is going through because you went through the exact same thing. And for whatever reason, it's like, you know, I know people like Petty John Cena, like Vicious John Cena, and Miz made a great point. Like, it's easy to do that when you can punch down, and nobody's allowed to punch back up at you. Like, Cena knows what targets he can pick. He's not doing that to people like his peers, or people don't care. Like, he's not going to do that. He's not cutting that type of pro with Brock Lesnar, talking about, you only come in here and do two moves, and you're just stealing money. Like, no. Because one, Brock would either not care or laugh at all, or Brock would strangle him. And John Cena wouldn't be able to do a damn thing about it. I was like, you know what targets you can pick saying that. So,
yeah.
Whatever.
it was an exhausting topic. It was an exhausting promo, I guess you could say. Like, there was just so much to it. And poor Roman Reigns, even our whole talk revolved around John Cena.
Yeah, like, Roman Reigns had to sit there and take it, basically. And it's kind of like, you know, I can't. And I get it, Roman, like, he tried, but that's not his thing. Like, Roman Reigns is more man a few words. And it's a shame where they don't let Roman Reigns do what Roman Reigns best. Roman Reigns works best as being, like, the kind of cold, arrogant asshole that can beat you up. That's what got him over when he first came with the Shield, and that's worked when he's NXT. Him trying to be John Cena not work because he shouldn't be John Cena.
Oh, right. Yeah, and I mean, honestly, Samoa Joe is his best counterpart these days. But they're pretty much not going to have two Samoa Joes on the show.
Yeah, and that's the biggest issue. It's kind of like, Roman Reigns should be like Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe being there, being himself, kind of highlights how they're misusing Roman Reigns. Because, like, Samoa Joe comes out there, and he just talks it straight. Like, you know, I ain't worried about you. I already choked you out twice. I punked out Brock Lesnar. I'm coming to take what's mine. You ain't doing nothing about it. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, he just said, I'm going to do this, and you ain't doing nothing. And it's like, the crowd believes him because he looks like he can do it. Roman Reigns looks like he can beat up whoever he wants to beat up, more or less, beside, like, maybe two or three people.
Right.
Don't have him try to be a hero and worry about the kids. Have him be a killer. Like, come in, because it's like, women like him because he's handsome. He's always like people that's in shape. you have him come out as a killer, the hardcore fans are going to like him, and we know that because they used to like him when he was with the Shield and did that. Like,
yeah,
Roman Reigns got pushed for a reason, and why fans are acting this whole, oh, he got pushed down the throat, that's y'all fault. Y'all should have cheered for him when he was a heel. Like, y'all, like, people forget that Royal Rumble, the one Batista won, and people got mad when Roman Reigns got eliminated last, when Roman Reigns, what, eliminated like 11 or 12 people? And, and they were cheering for Roman Reigns when he was a heel. Now we're gonna pretend we didn't do that. Like, you can't get behind somebody and get mad when Vince gets behind somebody. Like, nah, that's on us.
Yeah, the fans do need to take some responsibility, which is kind of another thing ironic about Cena saying that they're the final arbiter of the situation. Honestly, they got him pushed. The fans got him pushed, and I haven't really had a problem with Reigns this whole time, so it's always strange. That was another thing I just didn't like about him. I'm like, really? Like, this is a thing today? Like, John Cena is doing this?
Yeah, and I did laugh at Reigns a lot, talking about, you know, the fans ain't booing you because of whatever, the fans booing you because you suck. And I laugh, it's like, yeah, like, John Cena got that treatment for a decade. And it wasn't, they listened to the fans, because they listened to the whole thing, or the fans want me to turn heel. Yeah, because you sucked as a babyface. Not because, you know, that whole, you know how long we had to hear Michael Cole talking about, oh, the most controversial superstar in WWE history. Ain't nothing controversial about babyface getting booed. Like, that's not breathtaking. That's not cutting edge. Oh, he was just a sucky babyface, and we had to get this whole thing, whether you like him or hate him. Like, nah, no.
And
y'all pushed him down their throats, and we hated him, and y'all didn't listen. That's all that was.
And I guess that is the other thing that's kind of interesting about the whole thing. The fans are just split at this point. Like, I don't think there's going to be a limited amount of cases that everyone cheers for someone. You know, because there are going to be people that if Braun Strowman's against the wrong people, Braun Strowman's not going to get cheered. You know, because he still acts kind of heelish for the most part. Yeah. Like, they put them in the role, and that's why I liked, what's his name? Marty Scurll, on his interview with Steve Austin. He was calling them antagonists and protagonists. Like, it's really strange that the WWE, like, I mean, they know that the fans are split now. Like, you're not going to change that. The fan reaction, even if Reigns goes heel, it's not going to change significantly. Like, that's why they didn't change John Cena for all those years either. Like, it wasn't going to change things.
Yeah, like, he would have got cheered, basically. Like, that's what would have happened, is he would have got cheered. It's weird where they do stuff, and then they get surprised when it works. Like, that's the biggest issues kind of they run into. It's kind of like, you know, we push Braun Strowman as this monster that beats up everybody and looks tough. And then somehow it's a biggest chair. Why are you surprised? Like, he's a monster. He can work. Like, he's athletic. He looks believable. Like, it's cool seeing him beat up three people. And it's not like he's like the Khali doing it, who can barely move, can barely talk. Strowman is an athlete. Strowman looks like a comic book monster. Like, you have Samoa Joe come up, beat Roman Reigns clean, talk about, I'm going to beat everybody's ass, he beats everybody's ass, and then you get shocked when he gets popular? Why? After, like, people already like Samoa Joe and know his story anyway. Like, you treat people special, and they get surprised when the fans treat them special. Like, it's not a case, and it's not a case like when they got over in spite of booking. Now, it's not like a Cesaro thing or something like that, or like a Daniel Bryan thing. It's like, no, you made them out to be big deals, and then you're surprised when the fans got behind them and treat them like big deals. It's like, you can't, like, you did what you set out to accomplish. Why are you shocked by that?
Yeah. Oh. That was another one that kind of cracked me up within Cena's promo, was him using Kevin Owens as an example of someone still sticking around post-John Cena. And I guess that was one point that really didn't help Roman Reigns at all, is that the days of John Cena carrying a shovel are in the past for the most part. Like, it's kind of like accusing, because at some point Triple H started doing the same thing that Cena was doing, where he started realizing that he was kind of losing all the big matches. Like, he'd win on the No Mercy pay-per-view, let's say, he'd win on No Mercy, but then he'd end up jobbing on SummerSlam or WrestleMania, because his WrestleMania record is just awful.
Yeah, it's true, but at the same time, it's like, it's still a long ass road of bones behind John Cena, who he buried. I know he put over AJ Styles, and he kind of put over Kevin Owens, and he just put over Nakamura. But you look at all the people he didn't put over, or kind of like, there's some people who don't got jobs anymore. Like, when I watched Glow and Alex Riley showed up, I'm like, oh yeah, Alex Riley's going to have a career, and then he ran to John Cena, and that was the end of that. Like all the people, you know, the CM Punks and the Randy Ortons and like all this, like it was even the Wade Barretts and everything. Like, I don't even want to look on Wikipedia and look at John Cena feuds, because it's kind of like,
I was ready for you to reference Damian Sandow.
I mean, Sandow, or even, it's not just new people, it was kind of like, you go back to when he's beating Shawn Michaels and Triple H, and the big one, it's two big ones, Chris Jericho and Kurt Angle, and especially Kurt Angle. That's when fans really kind of like rebelled against this, because it's like, okay, we know John Cena's, you know, he's the champion, like that. You're not going to convince anybody he's going to out-wrestle Kurt Angle. Like, no.
Oh.
Kurt Angle was beating Brock Lesnar clean back when nobody was beating Brock Lesnar clean. And he losing this doofus? Like, no. Like, the fans, that's when the fans, it tells you something, they got so bad that people were cheering Chris Masters over John Cena. Like, that's how bad it got. It's like, it's a long, like, John Cena's good now. Like, John Cena now, he'll put somebody over. Like, he's lost clean to plenty of people. And you don't want to, like, discount that. Because it's like, Kevin Owens is where he is, more or less, because of that. And definitely AJ Styles. You know, Nakamura didn't really need it. It's like, that was just a set of a match. That's the funny thing is, that one was probably the most unnecessary one. Because Nakamura was already the man on SmackDown. And them having a 9-minute match didn't really mean all that much. It was just like, well, he's gonna wrestle Jinder Mahal anyway, so he gotta beat Cena. So it was like, so what?
No one else is left on SmackDown main event in the babyface category. So
yeah, so we gotta do this so he can add his one match and then run the Raw. But it just goes to peak of thing. Why this is supposed to set up a match? They're not talking about who can beat who. They're talking about who's a better, like, performer, who can cut better promos, who had the better, like, backstage influence and stuff, and that's too much of that whole TNA, late WCW stuff, like, I got the stroke, that's why I'm in the main event, and, you know, your promo game is trash, like, that, and they do all of that, they get all mad at each other, Roman Reigns is tipping over the table after he signs it, and then they have a tag match together.
And that was kind of funny, but I'm not sure it got played up that much, was the fact that John Cena sold the whole match because he was being a jackass during the match itself. And that really wasn't played up. Like, Roman Reigns wasn't doing anything wrong, really. And John Cena's like, hey, this is how you do it. And he got booted in the face, and then Reigns has to save the day.
Yeah, John Cena's been doing that a lot lately. That whole, I'm clowning people, like, la-di-da-di-da-da. Because he did that against Baron Corbin at SummerSlam. Like, played it off like a joke. Like, the crowd ain't even thinking about you, they cheering me. Watch this, go out and get JBL hat. dancing around outside. I'm like, he's like, it's just weird seeing this because you're not seeing it still a big deal, but he's treating everything kind of like, he don't treat stuff serious anymore. And
oh.
I do got to say something about the whole, that line he said, talking about, you know, when I had the U.S. title, I treated it like with prestige. I wanted to make it important. When you got it, you treat it as demotion. It's like, yeah, if you was world champ and then you U.S. champ, it is a demotion. It's like, come on now. Like, it's not like Ric Flair being 50 when the Intercontinental title and he never won it before getting excited. It's like, you used to being, trust me, it's a reason Hulk Hogan never won the IC title.
Oh.
You think he'd be excited or like Stone Cold won the world title 3 times and then he's going to be Intercontinental champion and he's going to make it proud again? Like, that ain't how it worked.
Well,
like, why would Roman, and that's kind of like, Stone Cold said all the time, if your main goal isn't to get the world title, then what are you doing? And especially if Roman Reigns is Mr. Main Event and he's trying to get the world title, what are he going to do with the U.S. belt? Like, oh, he going to work his way up like a contender? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, and that's another one where I'm not sure that he had that much of a power. Like, I remember them just continuing to throw Reigns into feuds that the U.S. belt wasn't involved in. It's just like, well, it's around his waist. Why isn't that involved? Like, I'm thinking that isn't his decision.
Yeah.
How do you blame him for it?
But he was U.S. champ doing all this stuff with Rusev, and it was like the belt was secondary. Like, they had a 25-minute match. I remember they had, like, some long matches on Raw, and it was, like, non-title matches. Like, they had, like, what, a 35-minute match one time on Raw? Yeah, and they had one match that was like 20 minutes, was a no contest. They kept having all these non-title matches. And because it was the whole thing when Roman Reigns was basically, they had him basically sexually assaulting Lana and assaulting Rusev more or less. And it was like, they keep putting Roman Reigns in these losing predicaments and situations to make him look horrible. And then he get blamed for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing for me. Like, it's just like, really? You're going to blame him for the shit spots you've put him in? And I mean, you brought him up. You're the one that has the performance center now, and you don't teach people how to have a good promo before they get out? Like, you just let, they just let it slide. Like, oh, no. I taught them, but I don't have anything to do with them not learning.
Yeah, and it's so ass backwards, and it's kind of like, they know the best promos, like, you give them talking points, you let them be themselves, and just let them be natural. And they talk about it all the time. They talk about DVDs, they talk about network specials. Yeah, all these old heads talk about it, yet they never let them do it. They always like, you know, read this line for line, read this way, and then wonder why it sounds bad. It's like, it's like people don't remember their own words. Like, what are we doing? Like, and these people are still alive. They were around when, like, Michael P.S. Hayes cut promos. He's still alive. He remember the promos he used to cut in the 80s and how he got over. He remember how people cut promos in the 90s. He worked with his coworkers. Like, this was around the 90s, this was around 2000s. You just had John Cena do that. Like, John Cena basically, I'm going to say my stuff. You had a whole year of the Talking Smack stuff. The Miz basically got over basically being himself. AJ Styles got over being himself. Baron Corbin backstage. It's funny. Look at Baron Corbin on Talking Smack and, like, all that backstage stuff, like, natural stuff. And then look at him when he has a mic in his hand. And it's, like, two completely different people.
Oh.
And they wonder why. It's like, one, they're letting Baron Corbin be natural, be himself, but still, like, fits his character. And then the other one is like, I need you to talk like you're a villain from Archie comics. And it's like,
they're not letting him be natural. Yeah, it happens a lot. Like, yeah, it just happens a lot, and they don't take any of the blame on their own shoulders. Mm-hmm.
It even happened to John Cena, like you said. Those crappy-ass promos he talked when he tried to be tough like Stone Cold or try to crack jokes like The Rock and get booed out the building. And they like, oh, the fans just don't know what they like. It's like, the fans don't like crap, and you keep giving it to them. You know, don't. And it's like, I've seen Stone Cold. I've seen The Rock. He's neither one of them. Don't have him do that. Like, have him be himself. Because it's funny, they have him be himself is great. When John Cena cuts those passionate promos where he can be himself and be, I'm a hero and I'm going to do the best I can do, it always works.
Yeah.
And people, when John Cena wants to be like a smarky dickhead, that works too. But they never let him do it. Or they just start letting him do it. Like, every now and then they let him do it. People say, oh, it's a great John Cena promo. How come he can't do that all the time? It's like, you see him in movies, and that's what really pissed me off. When I see him in these movies and how funny he is or how, like, natural he is, it's like, where was that John Cena for a decade?
Oh.
If we had got the John Cena, like the 2013, the down John Cena, imagine he was like that from Jump Street. You know how different WWE would probably look?
Well, he might not be there. And he might have been gone like the Rock was.
That's a good point. Probably the leper. And it's funny you bring up The Rock. And I thought about that because I was listening to Jericho's podcast. And he was talking about how in wrestling, most people don't reach their prime till their mid to late 30s. It's like, you know, right when their physical peak starts to slow down, but their mental peak is kind of at maximum. Like, unlike other sports where it's like you reach your peak in like mid to late 20s. And then you have to think, like, Rock was done by like his late 20s the first time. Like, all those peak years that most people get, he was busy. Like, it amazes when you think about people like him and Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle. Like, they were good early. Like, they were done like late. Like, Lesnar and Rock were done like they're in the late 20s. Like, it's just amazing when you think about, like, you know, you're 25 and you're the second best wrestler in the world already. Nobody can tell you anything. And meanwhile, you got these people. Like, I talked to Jeremy about it. When you look, like, there's not young wrestlers anymore like it used to be. It's like stars. Like, most of the guys are kind of like late 20s and up. Like, there's no 23-year-old that's like in the main event or no 24-year-old in the main event anymore. It's like, you know, even now, like, you think of, like, young people, think about, oh, Dolph Ziggler, you know, like, how old can he be? And you look on Wikipedia, he's like 35 or 36. You see people kind of like 37, 38, you realize, they've been wrestling for 12 years, and people age.
I mean, there's even that, and I mean, this was one that is completely off topic, but something that I wanted to talk about anyway, but kind of related in a way. Bobby Roode took on Mike Kanellis tonight on SmackDown. And we mentioned AJ Styles during it. Styles mentioned, he goes, oh yeah, I'm 40. I'm like, that guy is a year younger than me. And he's just getting his shot at the big time. And I know my body does not always cooperate these days. Not like it used to. And I know that he's in much better shape than I am, but that element is still there for Styles. Yeah. And it's definitely there for Bobby Roode, who's, I mean, both have been wrestling for like 20 years, essentially.
Yeah, like, Bobby Roode's 40. It's kind of like, most people hit 40, they're part-timers. Like, Triple H started to slow down when he was like 37, 38. John Cena's the same thing, I'm part-timer. And these guys kind of like, I'm just starting. Like, that's amazing you think about that. I'm like, I'm watching Bobby Roode, and the only reason I know he's 40 is because I looked it up one time. I'm like, Bobby Roode been around for a long time, but he doesn't look old. Like, Bobby Roode, he could say he was 32, I believe him, because he's in great shape. He doesn't have an old-looking face, and he wrestled like a safe style. They're like, he's 40 years old. Like, Samoa Joe is like late 30. They got all these guys that's kind of like old.
Yeah, Finn Balor is 35, I believe, because I looked up his age somewhat recently.
Yeah, up, No, you gotta say up and comer, young kid Finn Balor.
Yeah, and he's older than half of the roster.
Yeah, 36 years old. It's just amazing. Like it is. It's kind of like you got it. That's the one thing about the drawback. You know, all these indie guys and everything give them a chance, and it's like they didn't get them when they were spring chickens. They get them kind of like it's almost like MLS. Like they get all these guys like, oh, he's done in the Premier League, and now he's gonna play for DC United. It's like, oh, we got 40-year-old Neymar. He's an up and comer. Like, yeah, I remember Neymar was great a decade ago. It's like, and it's fun. And it's funny where that's almost WWE. Like, it's not their fault because they can still go. But like, Nakamura ain't young. Rude ain't young. AJ Styles ain't young. Joe ain't young. Like, it's most of their main event are old people. And from a company that used to crack jokes on WCW, they used to have their geriatric main event. It says a lot that, like, even Braun Strowman, who's kind of like a rookie, and started off young, he's 33.
Oh, yeah.
They used to say Batista was too old when he started because Batista was, like, 30. Just think about that.
Yeah. It's really weird. Just the age that some of them are, and I guess the other part that of that equation to that match, to me, was Kanellis really should have gone to NXT first. That's one of those ones where it shows the value. Like, I know that AJ Styles didn't go there. I mean, Nakamura still went there. Like, it really helps establish your character because they are definitely gone with the days of changing your character when you jump from NXT to the main roster.
Yeah, and what you have is what you have, more or less.
Yeah, and Kanellis has just been, not that I've ever thought that much of him. I wasn't completely sure why they signed him, to be honest. Because he didn't, you know, he's one of the few guys from ROH that's come over that I was just like, oh, okay. Like,
most. I thought it was because of his wife.
Well, yeah, but it honestly, like, she's old enough that not that many fans remember, and she could have used reestablishing herself before she came up. And I mean, Rude is completely over because they let him wash the TNA stink off of himself for about a year there in NXT and establish a character with the fans, or at least the hardcore audience, and it's already carried over 2 weeks into SmackDown.
Yeah, like, Bobby Roode looks like a big deal because people watched him be a big deal in NXT for a year. Like, they treated him special, and it translated. Like, Nakamura, it's funny, it says a lot when they were announcing the match, like the main event match, and it mounts Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura, and Nakamura got way more cheers than Randy Orton, and they were in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's like, it's not like real smart. It's not like, you know, they were in Brooklyn or Chicago. They were in Arkansas, and Nakamura was the most popular person on SmackDown. Like, that's, they treated them like big deals. And then when they got to the main roster, they continued to treat them like big deals. And it works. It's like, it's the reason why it works. And yeah. The whole thing with Mike Kanellis and Marie was like, it reminded me too much of The Miz and Maryse. And they do it better. You know,
that
whole gimmick
problem.
Is like, we going to beat people with love and the power of love. And we're just, okay, y'all married and y'all like each other. What does that have to do with wrestling? And like those, it wasn't an entertaining gimmick. It didn't have anything to do with matches. It's not like he has amazing matches anyway. So, yeah, I'm kind of like, it's the same thing. Like some gimmicks fall apart when you delve deep into it. It's like, what's the point? You gotta have something to back it up. And it says a lot that's kind of like, I forgot that he was even on SmackDown until tonight.
Oh, Well, yeah, him and Ty Dillinger, you can easily forget that they're on SmackDown. So, I guess...
Speaking of stuff that you forgot, we talk about SmackDown.
we did spend a good 45 on that promo, yeah. So...
This Dolph Ziggler stuff is just, I'm just laughing at the absurdity of it. His new promo is basically, I'm a crack joke to everyone else's gimmick. Like, that's basically just doing like, oh, maybe I need to come out with face paint like Finn Balor. Maybe I need to come out with a girl and y'all like that. Maybe I need to talk about, you know, I need to sing a song or play a guitar. It's like he's basically trashing everybody in WWE. Sound like, what happened to just having, like, I guess you need style, not substance, so that's what I'll do, because working for all these other bozos. You just come off like that bitter, and you know what? It's funny, he just come off like that bitter man that didn't get, like, you know, he didn't get the chance he deserved, and he's angry about it, and it works, because that's kind of his career. But right. It seems sad. Like, I remember we kept saying, like, you know, Dolph Ziggler should be a big deal, and through injury and booking, he got there but never stayed there. And then once he dropped out, he never got back. And that, I remember that big feud him and The Miz had, and it was like, he won the feud and it didn't matter. The Miz ended up being better.
That was definitely part of the problem. And his promos still, like, even though he's gotten snarky and they're a little more enjoyable, they're still not that good. Like, he was a guy that, I guess he needed a little more than just what he could provide in the ring. Like, as good as he was in the ring, like, he's still, it's kind of funny saying that after, because I guess at least with Reigns, you know, you could see him in a comfortable position if they put him there. But Ziggler never really got there, I don't think. He never seemed comfortable in his skin, and he still doesn't seem comfortable in his skin, even if he's angry about how his career has turned out. And he is not wrong about that.
True. I think it's a case of where he's good, but he's not good enough where it's kind of like, you know, like, if wrestling is your main gimmick, you have to be great, especially now, because there's so many great wrestlers around.
Oh,
like, you need more than that. And it's, and the biggest issue with him was kind of like, he didn't wrestle like he wanted to win. He wrestled like he wanted to entertain. I want to steal the show. I want to get 4-star matches. I want to be the one people talk about. No, be the guy that wins. People will talk about you. And that was always been his thing. It's kind of like, you know, I want to be a performer. I want to perform and entertain. And I'm like, you're not Shawn Michaels. So you got to be like at a Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero level to just get over by your wrestling. Even then they had personality and character. Like, if your whole thing is just, I'm a great wrestler, I can take a bump. It's like, okay, Seth Rollins can do what you do better. So why won't follow you? Oh, you can wrestle. Half the people on Raw and SmackDown can wrestle. Like, it says a lot that Nakamura does like 4 moves, and he's more popular than like Dolph Ziggler. Like, Nakamura barely does anything. Move-wise, wrestling-wise, he just does gesticulations. He pointing. He look like he having a seizure. He'll kick you a few times. He got 2 suplexes and a punch. And it doesn't matter, because his match is entertaining. Like, he knows how to react. One, he knows how to sell. Like, when he gets beat up, you feel like he's dying out there. Like, yeah. It's like he's just going through agony. When he's having his comeback, it's like, if I don't do this, they're going to kidnap my daughter. Like, he just has that fire where you can, like, I watch his matches, and I can believe everything about the matches, because he brings out the emotion, like, it's a believable fight. Like, I'm fighting for my life. Dolph Ziggler's like, I gotta perform this so Dave Meltzer can say something nice about me.
Yeah, you find such a nice way to summarize things sometimes that I'm not sure what to add. But yeah, that was definitely, at least the talking about wanting to have a good match was definitely something that he did entirely too much earlier in his career. And I guess that's one where they just don't let him, they never let him have that much offense either, which didn't help. Like, they're just like, oh, you're really great at selling, so sell 3/4 of the match and then win at the end, which it doesn't really work. Especially with not hard, like, he never had, like, that, because he was a smaller guy, like, he didn't quite have smaller guy offense.
Yeah. Like, his stuff was flashy, but it never seemed like it was painful.
Yeah.
It was kind of more like, you know, he'll be some, like, you know, because even the zigzags seem like, okay, he's just pulling the guy's head down. Like, it's like a women's match hair pull. He's jumping. And it's kind of like, it looks cool, but it don't, like, it would hurt that. Like, his stuff looks cool, but beside him doing a super kick, his moves never, like, it hurt that much. And his offense never really looked like it. It just looked like, okay, you're doing Billy Gunn stuff, but better. Whoop-de-damn-do. Like, Billy Gunn's offense looks soft as baby shit, too. Doing it fast is not going to make it look any tougher. And, yeah, that whole, you get beat up and then have a few moves and win, at least he's not Enzo.
Well, and that's why I was just like, oh, this is a perfect way.
You know what? I thought they were joking because I was at work and I wasn't watching Raw. And then WWE app let me know, like, Enzo won his debut 205 live match against Noam Dar. And I'm like, that got to be a glitch. Like, I thought somebody was playing with me. Like, you got to be kidding me. You going to have him wrestle with the cruiserweights? And have him, and then I was asking people, without, like, did that really happen? They're like, yeah, what happened to the match? Oh, I couldn't even tell you. Like, no, it's kind of like they didn't even show the replay as how bad it was. I'm like, that's, I've already talked about Enzo's biggest main ring issue is kind of like, you're small and you can't wrestle. And now you're going to put him in a cruiserweight? Like, where they can all, even the old ones can wrestle? Like, I know he's their size, but it's, yeah, I know you gotta do something with him, but
That's one where they just I understand why they did it. Like, he is, well, A, it's kind of hilarious that they had to talk about him making weight for 205 live, because you're like, I look at some of those other guys, especially Neville. Who was already put in the unenviable position of going, oh shit, I need to have a good match with this guy? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, that could have been only thought running through his head.
I laugh when he was basically saying, if this will be my competition, I'll keep this belt forever and ever. It's kind of like, he's not wrong. Because he beat all the good people. Like, you know, that's why this, just laugh at the whole thing, because it's like they have a heel champion that's basically beating everybody, that they basically booked to be better than everybody else. And I seriously hope and doubt that Enzo's not the one to beat him for the belt. Please. And I'm assuming they don't, because they never let Enzo have any offense. He should just be a manager. Like, he can talk, he's got a good look, but he's just a obnoxious, like, he's a horrible baby face. He's an obnoxious chump who can't fight.
Yeah, and that match did him zero favors to go, oh, yeah, maybe he can pull this off. It's just like, oh, wow, okay, so eat defeat, not properly executed is your only move? Really?
Like, that move ain't that hard to do. I mean, put your leg up and fall down. Like, that's all you do.
And hold on to someone else's arm.
Yeah. Like, that's not like he's doing a shooting star press. Like, this, it's, I want to, you know what, it's, And it's another thing where it ain't his fault. He was victim of his own success. It's kind of like they got over because of his talking skills. Oh. He has no business being in the ring, but they were popular. And it's kind of like, we got crowd likes them, crowd gets behind them, they sell merchandise. You can't have they don't believe in managers, so you're going to use them. But it's like, now he's by himself. And it's like, I don't want to watch him. Like, when he comes on TV, it's almost like turn the channel heat. Like, it just gets on my nerves. Just him running his mouth and yada, 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 the same old thing. And then knowing he's just going to get beat up and might get one move. One, if he's lucky. It'd be like a punch. An ugly-ass punch. Like, I don't want to see that.
And I guess the other point that I lost when I started talking about Neville, like, I know that they've mentioned him weighing about 205, but there is not a chance in hell if I looked at him and then looked at Neville, I'm like, are we sure Neville isn't over 205? Like, we're positive about this? Like, that guy's the goddamn tank.
Yeah, like, I know muscle kind of looks heavier than, like, muscle looks heavier than sometimes what it is. And I always look at Neville, I'm like, I know they do keep the weights at 205, like, they do that for real. But with him, it's always like, yeah, he's like 204.999 whenever I look at it, because it's kind of like, he's short, but it's not like he's 5'3". Like, he got some height on him. And he's built like a comic book character. Like, he's just, he's got thick legs, he's like built like a smaller Chris Benoit. And Benoit was small too, but even Benoit was like 225, 230. I look at Neville sometimes, I'm like, if he 205, he rad 205. So I can see him trying to sugar weight. Enzo is like, yeah, maybe because he eat too many hot dogs. But Enzo never looked that, like, Enzo just looks out of, I always laugh, like, how you going to be small and not look like you in shape? I can see big guys. Like, I see Baron Corbin, because Baron Corbin's tall, and he's big, and he's like that. I can see the power lifters. If you small, you got those. I know, like, it's weird, but it's a, like, WWE part is a vanity thing. You got to have something. Like, you can't be short, small, not be in shape, and you can't wrestle. Like, that's... You got a resume, you check off, like, you can do this. Yeah, I want to work at this computer company, but I don't know about computers. I can't type, and sometimes I can't come to work, but I want to work for your company. Like, how does that work?
But I'm really good at coding.
Sometimes.
You know, he's really good at one thing, but that's it. Some random aspect of computer.
I'm good at Microsoft Excel. Okay, but you want to be a carpenter. Like, what? Like, what are we doing? And it's just sad. It's like, it's too many people that's like that, where you know why they're getting pushed, but they're not ready. It's not their fault. And it's not like they can say no, because, like, I guess we're right. Well, Nia Jax in the same boat. People get on her, and it's like, it ain't her. Like, what y'all expect? Like, she looks the way she looks. She's imposing as hell. She's the cousin of the damn Rock. Why you don't think she's going to get... And it's not like she's 22 either. She's like almost... She's probably in her 30s herself. And like...
Oh, is she?
What you think was going to... I'm going to look her up now. Like, she's not necessarily young either.
I guess that's one of the few things. Like, the men are definitely older. The women...
She's 33.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, even the women are getting old, because before it's kind of like, by the time you hit 30, you were having a baby and retiring.
Now it's like... Well, what's her name? Bliss is pretty young, and so Banks is fair. I think that some of them are pretty young there. They think Banks, Bliss, and Bailey are all at least in their mid-20s, which is...
Yeah, but like... But then you got, like, Naomi's 29, Natalya's in her 30s, the Bellas were, like, probably 30 or 31 themselves. Like, they have a mix where they have a lot of young people, and then they have, like, people who, like, normally retire, but, like, still, like, in their prime. The Naomi's and Natalya. Like, Tamina's, like, almost 40.
Yeah.
That's the one that always, like, surprised me. Like, wow. because the Usos aren't that old, and they came around the same time. Like, she's like 6-7 years older than they are.
Oof, yeah. I guess I'm not surprised. I didn't think about that, but the Usos were one of the few people to come in exceptionally young, too, though. They were definitely an exception to the rule as far as youngness goes. But I guess I do think that, at least on the whole, the women, they're almost having to develop some of the women more than they are the guys. And I can't remember it. I know it's Sara Del Rey was her ring name, but I can't think of, is it Sara Amato?
Sara Amato.
Okay. You know.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about this, and I've been Googling the women's ages, and most of them, like, the ones you mentioned are young. Everybody else is, like, 28 and up. Like, Dana Brooks, 28. Carmella's 29. It's like, I guess we got spoiled, but Kelly was walking around 22. And, like, all younger, like, when, like, Eve was, like, 24. Like, I think we got spoiled because we had, like, the AJs and the Caitlyns and stuff, like, started really young. And then they weren't around that long. Like, so by the time they're 27, 28, they were done. And now you got these people, like, they start NXT. Then by the time they get to the main roster, they already, like, 27, 28. And it's like, yeah, 3-4 years from now, they're all going to be in their 30s. And especially with the style they're wrestling now, it's like people like Sasha Banks, is like, she got to have a shelf life.
Oh.
Then I wrestle the whole, like, I'm just pulling your hair, this soft stuff. They doing some, like, wrestling. Like, it's not like they're wrestling Japanese style, but they're wrestling a rough-ass style.
Yeah, they're not doing strong style, but they definitely, you know, they keep up with the guys, and I mean, it's tough for a lot of them to keep up. And, yeah, it's just got to be tough on the body, so even though they're okay for the time being, it's one of those ones that we'll see how it works. And I guess that's the other thing with Jax. Like, I guess I'm not surprised that she's the one getting the spot against Bliss, but it's so confusing to... Is she a babyface now? I guess?
But it's kind of like, that's weird. Why are you going bully babyfaces, wrestling us? It's weird when Brock Lesnar is kind of like one of the people that got away with that. It's like, when you're a big monster babyface fighting heel smaller than you, it's normally hard to get behind you. Because it's like, normally you root for, like, the person to beat, like, the big evil man. It'd be like Vader being a babyface. He fighting. It's kind of like, okay, oh, will he be able to beat the guy that weighs 100 pounds less than him? I don't know. I guess I got to watch and find out. It's like, yeah, I kind of know how that's going to go. And it's funny where, I mean, Alexa Bliss normally be sympathetic, but she's such an awesome heel. It's like, yeah, like, I don't see them cheering for her, but I don't see them cheering for Nia Jax. Even like, Nia Jax is a monster bully. And it's just a weird dynamic, like, heel versus heel. And even though they're, like, in real life, they're best friends.
Oh, right.
So I'm sure they're going to, like, do their, you know, they both talk about on their podcast with Jericho. And cause yeah. I guess they kind of started around the same time. But it's just a weird dynamic where the Raw women's kind of in a weird spot anyway, because Bayley is just, I feel so bad. They just trashed her. Like, she's just in a horrible position. Sasha Banks isn't that much better.
No.
They're not really doing too much with Dana Brooke, and she's dealing with tragedy herself. Like, her boyfriend just died.
Oh.
Yeah, like, he choked to death. Like, beaten. I think he's like a weightlifter. Like, that was like last week, matter of fact.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Mickie James is basically that old woman they don't use anymore. And
Remember me when I used to be great is pretty much like, what her promo, like, is all the time now.
It's like, no, half those women used to wrestle, they all retired, they're moms now. So, and then Emma keeps coming out like, I was the first diva to be here, this women revolution, for all these good ones that can actually wrestle. What are you going to do with me? So So it's like the Raw women are a weird thing, and with Asuka coming up sooner or later when she gets healthy, I hope they put her on SmackDown. Like, I don't want her nowhere near Raw, because that's where women go to. That's where women go to die. Like, Charlotte's probably the only one that was kind of okay,
right?
And everybody else is kind of like they were not done any favor on Raw, and she's 31. See, ever since we talk about how young these women are, I was going on Wikipedia, all these divas, and they're like 29, 28, 31. Charlotte.
Oh, Charlotte. Oh, yeah. I kind of figured that. Just she had a little too much life experience. I'm sure that Becky Lynch is a little bit on the older side, too, considering
it. She's 30.
30, okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, I remember Becky Lynch when she wasn't Becky Lynch, because I'm like, I didn't put two and two together. Like, I remember hearing about Rebecca Knox back on the internet, like back in the day, like, you know, this up and comer that just vanished. Like, oh, she's wrestling, then she just took time off of injury, and then I see this girl, Becky Lynch, and I didn't realize they were the same person, so I went on Wikipedia. I'm like, oh, so that's what happened. Because normally people just vanish, and they just vanish.
They stay vanished.
So, but I guess that can go, we can wrap up to my women and vanishing. You haven't watched the Mae Young Classic yet, have you?
I watched the first two matches of the first episode. I was I stopped at the Baszler, is it Zeta?
Yeah.
Match? Yeah. So, I hopped off right before that match started. So, okay.
I'll just say three quick things. One, it's amazing the amount of talent there is in women's wrestling these days. Like, it's just stacked. Like, you just watch these women a lot of time, I'm like, I don't even know half of them, but the way they build them up is like, I don't want any of them to lose. Like, a lot of it's kind of like, it's not like, you know, the Cruiserweight Classic where it's like someone's like, okay, he's just here as a body. And even like the Mae Young Classic, they have some of that, but I won't spoil it. I'll just say, if you have experience, you have a good chance of winning. I put like the women that's been around for a while has been like advancing, and I'm surprised because like they're beating people, they're beating talent that's like signed to NXT already. And it's kind of like, and it's funny, it's like similar to the Cruiserweight Classic where like Kota Ibushi got the semifinals, even though he didn't have a job. And it was just like, well, he's this good, we're just going to use him anyway. As long as he doesn't win, it's not a big thing. And it's kind of like that there. So that stands out. It's a mix of like women from all over, like different styles, different looks. Women they would have touched with a 10-foot pole 5 years ago. Like, what's her name?
Oh.
Becky Nevin. She's from like Scotland or Ireland. Like, she's the real big girl.
Oh,
like she's built like Brodus Clay, basically.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I have not seen her yet.
She's a real big girl, and she's there, and spoiler alert, I won't say what happened, but I'm saying the fact that she's there is like amazing. It's kind of like they're taking people from all body types, and it's not this whole Mala Agency thing. Two, I don't know how Tessa Blanchard doesn't have a job. That match she has with, it was Kairi Sane, was an awesome match. It's like, this is Tully Blanchard's daughter. She's like 22. Like, she's super young. And she can wrestle. Like, I don't remember. I heard her name. She must have got a lot, but I don't remember her being as good as she is. Like, she can wrestle. It's like, she has the look. She's wrestling royalty. Like, you're trying to tell them, like, I would not be surprised 2 years from now she's working with Charlotte. It's kind of like, you can't have a Flair and not have a Blanchard and not have them together. It's like, that's just synergy right there. And three, Kairi Sane's going to be a star.
Oh.
Like, everything about her just screams, like, a lovable superstar that's like, because she's, like, one, she's attractive as hell. She's adorable. She's got that whole, it's easy to like, but she can wrestle her ass off. Like, her stuff looks, like, she's like 5'1", maybe 110. Her stuff looks vicious. And that elbow, or I call it the orbital heaven elbow, and like, you know, like, that thing is, That is such a beautiful ass move, and it's like, yeah.
Yeah, well,
her only thing will be injury, because she's so small, and she wrestles such a harsh style in Japan. Anyway, like, the other girl they're going to sign, they didn't sign her because she's basically too injured. And I hope that doesn't happen to Kairi Sane, but, like, yeah, she's gonna be special.
Yeah, the last time we did a show, you mentioned that elbow, and that's why I had to put the video. Because, I mean, it was to the point that the WWE, you mentioned it, put out a video, and it was just all fan camera shots at Full Sail of that elbow. Like, that's how over they wanted it. They're like, oh, we're actually going to use other people's footage.
Yeah, like, it's beautiful. For a change. It's to the fact where they had Bayley stopped doing it. And Bayley is like, was main roster and everything like that. And normally it's kind of like, you know, you got to move somebody that's higher than you, had that move, you can't use anymore. Hers is so awesome. It's like, well, nah, we're going to have her use it. And it's kind of like, it's a beautiful ass move. And it just looks, I'm surprised she doesn't break her hip in a million pieces every time she hits it. Because she just lands, like, her body is parallel to the mat. Like, and she lands hip and elbow first. So, yeah, that match is, like, the last match on episode 4.
Oh, okay.
So definitely keep an eye on that match. I will do a spoiler alert before we go. You'll know I see it. What's your name? Bianca Belair's? I have never seen this before, and that's why I want to talk about it. She having her match, and it's a good match, and she's making a comeback. Like, they talk about her, it's like, she has this long braid that goes almost down to, like, down to where her hip is.
Uh-huh.
And, Paul, you know the hair is important, like that. She uses it, it's like, she whips a girl in the stomach with it.
Oh, wow.
Stuns her, and then hits her with a, and then stuns her, hit a finisher. And I was gobsmacked, because one, it's like, I have never seen that before in my life besides video games. Like, she just took her braid and just hit her right in the stomach. You can hear it too. Like, it made an audible sound. Like, it sounded like it hurt. Hit the chick in the stomach and then hit her with a finishing move. I was like, I've never seen that before. And I'm just watching it, like, you know how you see stuff in wrestling, you're wondering how that works. I'm like, it sounded painful. I mean, if I got hit with a whip in the stomach, I'd be stunned too.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that's. And Steve was talking about, he's like, I can't wait till you get to that part, because he brought it up. He was watching it. He's like, well, she actually did that. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I got to watch it. I rewinded it. I'm like, I know I didn't see what I thought I saw. And Jim Ross put it on, like, I've never seen that before. It's a hair based off of it, but it's effective, by God. Like, I was just watching this. Like, that's. And there's little stuff like that where the women have character and you wonder how many of them they'll sign. And it's kind of like, yeah, like, we were wondering before about the death of NXT, because all those NXT women went to WWE. I bet that'll be an issue after the tournament.
Oh, yeah. They should not have any problems in that department. Because even some of the people that, at least a couple, the two first losers really could do something for the WWE if they wanted them to. So.
And a lot of them are already signed to NXT anyway. It's like, they just haven't been on TV. They've been doing road shows. So, it's like, they already got a lot of young talent there. They got, like, Mercedes Martinez. I've heard that name for, like, a decade. I've never seen her wrestle before. I'm like, I saw that name all the time. You know, the PWI 500, or they have indie shows and stuff like that. Like, her name always came up. So, the fact that she's there, like, she's definitely not a strange chicken. It's like, they get a lot of people that been around. I remember Serena Deeb when she was on the Straight Edge Society.
That was one that I was kind of shocked. Like, I remember hearing that she was back, but I'm like, oh my God, she looks completely different. I know that she only had a shaved head for a short amount of time, but her body type is completely different now.
Yoga does that. It's like, she embraced. It's funny, because basically, like, she did yoga and, like, looked like she dropped about 15, 20 pounds. Even though she's not a small girl now, and she's not, she's younger than I thought she'd be. She's only 31.
Oh, okay.
So she must have been super young when she was, like, Shreya Society was a while ago. I mean, what, five years ago, at least?
Something in that area, I would think.
5 or 6, you know, yeah, so they have a lot of, like, women there, and they have a lot of different styles and different looks. So that's the one thing about, you know, people make about the women's revolution. One of the things is an actual thing where every woman doesn't look like Kelly Kelly, basically. Not that nothing was wrong with Kelly Kelly. Like, now you got a variety. Like, you know, I saw a tournament. I see a 6-foot Indian girl. I had never seen that before. I'm seeing, you know, Chinese girls, like people from China, Ireland, New Zealand. See people with shaved heads. You had, you know, the Brazilian one that's like in, you've been studying judo since she was 5. You got kickboxers, you got power lifters. You know, like, you just have a mix of like all these, it's almost like a Street Fighter or like Bloodsport. it's like you have all these different styles from all over the world in this one tournament. And it's like, that's the Mae Young Classic is basically Bloodsport for women. I never thought that day would come that we would see something like this, honestly.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of funny. I'm not sure how many shows we've done recently that it's had at least something of that note in it, whether it is the men's roster or definitely the women's roster. Because I even kind of had a little bit of a chuckle when they were talking about the Divas Revolution. I was just like, you know, they just showed all the things through the years, and I just thought about all the misuse of the characters that they highlighted. Yeah, and I just kind of laughed to myself.
And it wasn't even that long ago. Like, if you look at, like, where WWE was maybe 5 years ago, and then you look at WWE now, there'd be no way you think that. I basically say, like, look at WWE ever since Mania in Miami. And like the day after Mania in Miami, when Brock Lesnar came back. Because that was kind of like the first big, like, domino. Like, even more than The Rock coming out, like, nobody thought Brock Lesnar was going to come back. Like, because he didn't leave on, like, the best of intentions, and they had sued each other and everything like that. So the fact that he came back, and it's like, ever since then, just look at all the stuff that happened. Like, you see Sting came back. You know, Sting come there in the first place. Goldberg comes back and becomes a thing. You got The Shield, and you got like Kevin Owens and AJ Styles and the Samoa Joes, even like Eric Young, like, or Bobby Roode or stuff like that. You have all the stuff that happens with the women. You have all things with a cruise, like the network and all that stuff that happens. You have a cruiserweight tournament. You have a European tournament. Now you got a women's tournament. Shinsuke Nakamura is the most popular person on SmackDown. AJ Styles got treated like Ric Flair. Like, I'm turning on TV, and I'm like, how did this happen? Like, I'm watching SmackDown, and I saw Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, and Bobby Roode all get treated like big deals. And it's like, oh, it's no thing. And Jinder Mahal is the world champ.
Yeah.
I turn on Raw, and I see Nia Jax. I see Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman. Like, huh? Anderson and Gallows. Like, this is stuff you don't even think about. Like, they get people from everywhere and get them a chance. The Hardy Boys are back. Who would have guessed something like that? Like, it's just so much stuff happening. It's like, it's no way in the world. If I told you, like, you know, 5 years from now, you're going to have Goldberg, Russell, Brock Lesnar, Survivor Series, and people won't get excited about that match. Are you on drugs? Like, you would have got laughed at.
Yeah, what are you taking from your job there, Shahid? What are you taking? So both the men and the women, like, just a lot of this stuff is really surprising what's going on. At this point. And yeah, the Mae Young Classic is just kind of the whipped cream and the cherry on top of everything else. Because I can't I wouldn't think that they'd be able to pull another tournament out of their tuchuses unless they, go more I was going to say more myopic, but I mean, an English-only tournament could just lead to a China-only tournament in, 2 years, all I know.
Yeah, unless you're going to have a world tournament. Like, the best, spread it out, worldwide. Because I can't think, worlds, because you've done cruiserweights, you've done women. They do the tag team one on NXT every year, so that's not really, as big as the other one. You had the UK one. Unless you did, Asia. But even then, it's kind of New Japan ain't letting people, you're going to be in a tournament like that. Although, I say stuff like that, it'd just be amazing. You show up and NXT, you got, Okada wrestling in, the All-Asia tournament. Something like that. But even then, the fact that Shinsuke Nakamura is a thing is, if they got the money, they can. The whole thing is kind of if they want somebody, with the exception of maybe a few people that's making more than they would make in WWE, they can kind of get whoever they want. And Triple H has shown, this whole thing, how the takeover end. Adam Cole is standing over there with Red Dragon. And I don't even watch ROH, and I heard of Adam Cole. And I'm and he's standing there after Drew McIntyre beats Bobby Roode for the title. And that sentence seems normal. Just think about that. The show before SummerSlam, Drew McIntyre, who was toiling away in TNA a few years ago, beats Bobby Roode, who was also toiling away in TNA for the NXT title, which is treated as a big deal because Bobby Roode made that belt seem like a big deal. And they get jumped by three short guys from ROH, and the crowd's chanting. And then you go on Instagram, and you see Triple H shaking Adam Cole's hand. And you're just wondering, I woke up one day, and Triple H turned into Paul Heyman with CrossFit.
Oh, yeah, wrestling in 2017. Isn't it something?
Yeah, what a time to be a wrestling fan. You can watch, it's all these wrestling choices you can watch. You can watch almost whatever type of wrestling you want. And all of these things have, all the stuff people say about WWE, they'll never sign this guy. They don't sign indie guys. They don't sign short guys. They're not going to let the women wrestle. That's all out the window. If you're good, they'll sign you.
Yep, and they're signing everyone good for the most part. You mentioned Cole and Red Dragon, those were guys that, especially now that I've dropped TNA from my view list, ROH is the only product I watch, and those were some of the guys that I wanted them to bring over, and I can see a couple of guys already that are in ROH that they'll probably bring over. Leo Rush is definitely, I know Chris and I talked about him last week, but Adam Cole is actually fairly young, because I believe he's 26, and Leo Rush is 22 or 23, something in that area.
22.
So, yeah, there are some younger guys on the horizon, but they're still pretty rare.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, the people they don't sign is kind of it's either they're trying to or they're just waiting, Ricochet and Pentagon Jr.
Oh.
It's kind of those. Because I think Pentagon Jr. thing is kind of they want to, but it's the Lucha Underground contracts are kind of weird, where it's they almost ironclad, where they're not getting out of it. Because I know, if Ricochet had his way, he'd already be in WWE. But it's he got to wait for the contract to run out. He's kind of talked about that more or less, and it's kind of basically it's a matter of when and not if.
gotcha.
I know they talked about signing some Lucha Underground people. So, yeah, it's kind of it's WWE become this thing where they really, and they're trying to sign everybody from all over the world. And before, it's the whole thing, it's kind of they're going to ruin this guy. No, these guys now, they're living good, making money, and you get to see him, like, that's, it's not a fear anymore. It's like, oh, they're going to sign this, make them look bad. It's like, now, you get to see these people. Like, when else would I have seen, like, Shinsuke Nakamura? I mean, you know, unless I had the New Japan app and kind of figure out how to use it, because it's not the easiest app to use when you first get it. It's like, you get to see stuff you normally wouldn't have seen it before.
Yeah.
And the fact that a weirdo, like, my wife sees Nakamura and is like, who is this weirdo? Why is he acting like Michael Jackson? And this, and he's the most, one of the most popular people in WWE. And, like, he speaks English, but it's not like he doesn't speak perfect English. He looks weird. He wrestles funny. Like, he it's
talks
like, it's an acquired taste.
Still.
And it's a, the fans acquired it. And the fact that they pushed him is like, you're going to be the guy on SmackDown. That had never happened, like, 4 or 5 years ago. And now it's like, oh it happened because he's the best. And basically, like, he was the best. He's taking a spot that AJ Styles used to have. And that's another thing. Like, who would have thought AJ Styles would have been treated that well? Like, you could go all day long saying, like, I never thought this happened. And it happened.
Yep. So maybe we should have believed that promo between John Cena and Roman Reigns would happen then, since anything can happen these days.
Yeah, anything can happen in the WWE, as they say. I guess that was not a lie.
Well, I'm at DeFrango11. That's at Shaw Farm D. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you happen to grab this podcast. So, I am out of here, and it is all up to you, good sir.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Hugo Heidi. And if you're going to have a podcast, you got to make sure you speak English, kid. We are out.